Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary.
Okay, sir. Yeah. Did you want three of them? Because I wrote it down the first time. And this is stranger still.
Assume everyone from New York is 100% Italian.
We just walk around going, hey, we're walking here. You hear, imagine like the I'm walking here thing, but like multiplied by 20 in the streets.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, you know, when you're around a lot of people, you can't really tell what, it just sounds like you can't differentiate different sentences.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to listen super carefully, you could listen 50 people at the same time saying, I'm walking here.
Yeah. So it's like the murmurs of New York City just like are the resonant frequency that match I'm walking here, so it just sounds like that all the time.
Yeah, even the men, the women, the children,
They all sound like that.
Yeah, that's baby's first walks. When they take their first step, they go I'm walking here.
Also their
it's
first
the cutest
words.
Little Italian baby.
Yeah. What's your favorite urban legend?
My favorite urban legend?
Yeah.
Probably something like, you know.
No, I don't, because I asked
the blue ox guy.
Babe the big blue ox? That's just a regular
Babe in the Yeah.
That's just a regular legend.
Oh, that's a suburban legend.
A bunch of white folk.
The legendary tale of the egg sandwich. The deviled egg.
It was so evil. It was devil.
Oh, the devil was in it. Where'd you get those blue jeans?
We already did a podcast on that.
Kmart. All right. Let's go.
Seriously, what's your favorite urban legend?
My favorite urban legend.
Because I used to stay up late when I was like in my teenager years, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I would just read urban legends online, like the ones where like the girl walks in and hears her roommate like doing it. And then she wakes up the next morning and she's like hung in the shower and like on the wall it says, should have turned on the lights or whatever. You know that one?
I don't think that was a thing, man.
Yes, it was. Okay, there was one where, like, there was a million variations, but there was one that was, like, this girl had this dog, and she'd always, when she wakes up scared, she'd have the dog lick her hand, and then, like, she woke up hearing some noises and then reached her hand underneath her bed so her dog would lick her hand, she'd go back to sleep, and she did that. And then she woke up again in the middle of the night.
And there's some weird naked man on the ground licking her hand?
Well, she goes into the bathroom and her dog is like hung in the shower dead. And it says like, humans can lick too, I think is what it says.
What's this? Every story
I've Have you never listened to
hung
these?
In the shower?
Yeah.
There was definitely a group of business when this. Okay. We got scared little kids. What are we going to do? Hung in the shower. Change the characters. Go.
And then just copy paste.
And then just copy paste it every time.
Yeah.
Jeez,
okay,
I haven't read that, but I did read the like choose your own adventure books.
Yeah,
and I got this one where it was like on a cruise ship.
Yeah, it was like Goosebumps.
I think it might have been something like that. It was at like I got it from Wallbounds, which is New York's version of Hy-Vee.
Yeah,
and every single time I'd choose a page, I would get killed by the crab people. They're in the steam
on the cruise
room.
Ship.
Yeah, there's always the crab people.
Crab.
No people. Matter where I went.
Crab. Yeah. People.
They're
walk
in the boiler
like
room.
Crab. Talk like people.
And I know that you're going to lose because no matter what you choose, it says go to page 237. You know that's where the crab people
yeah.
are.
So you just learn.
So you just learn and it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to 237.
Yeah. Those books would always stress me out.
Yeah, and then you go back and you cheat.
Yeah.
Or you just
like,
ugh.
You have to like finger hold it while you
nope,
go to
you
the
got to start
page.
From the beginning of the story
no
over
way.
Again, even though you know
no,
everything.
No. I would never do that. Never.
Yeah,
never,
go to your last spawn point.
So I had a weird fascination with urban legends.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was like deathly afraid of them. And one that I would always read about is Bloody Mary or Candyman.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done one of those?
I didn't. I guess I had a Candyman and he sold ice cream and those little snaps that you throw in the ground. You know what
the little black powder snaps?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those more like.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
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 I'm good. I'm like, what's his face from that movie that does all the sounds?
You talked about him last time too.
I can't remember. Winslow something.
Yeah, Winslow something helicopter.
Winslow helicopter. My favorite brand of helicopter.
So you liked Bloody Mary and you liked...
No, I didn't like them. That scared the crap out of me. Have you ever seen, like, was there a Candyman movie?
Or was it? And it's really weird that you mentioned that because I talked about Bloody Mary today.
Yeah.
I told Paul about it and he mentioned the Candyman movie immediately.
Yeah.
Why are they associated? Or is that just coincidence?
I didn't look into the history a whole lot, but, John.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that face.
Yeah.
Did I just like hypnotize you?
Yeah, a little bit. I was, looking into your eyes like it was a mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's mirrors got to do with it?
What's mirrors got to do?
Got to do with it.
But do you know the rest of the lyrics of that? Or are you just putting up a front, buddy?
I don't even know who sings it.
It's.
Can you spell that for me?
Go on. Hey, stay on topic. What are you doing?
So the Candyman movie. So I haven't seen it, but I think it was either a Candyman movie or there was an Urban Legend movie. I know there's an Urban Legend movie where they just like combine a bunch of like Bloody Mary and like the car hook handle guy.
Yeah. I mean, like even a lot of Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes are based on just.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was like a movie where they combined a bunch of these. I know Candyman was in that. I think he had his own movie too. But there's a lot of variations of this. I'm just going to call it the Bloody Mary myth because there's a million variations of it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm willing to bet that the Candyman one came from the movies. But I can't verify that.
That the script was written
for Candyman,
and that was when Candyman was invented, and it came out of that movie.
I feel like it is, but I don't know.
And it's weird when popular culture is affected so much that you don't know if that started it or if it started because of that.
That's Urban Legends. That's Urban Legends right there, because it's always a friend of a friend that this happened to or whatever. It's like the Orangelo names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's never been a documented case of the name Orangelo, but it's always like, my friend was a doctor and he gave birth to some person that named their kid Orangelo. It's like, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
Because there's never, I went to Snopes and they went through like all of the social security names or listings or whatever and no Orangelos. So urban legends are cool. They captivated me for a long time when I was a kid because
mm-hmm.
I love being scared. And now it's hard to scare me, but back then, like when I was 12, 13, it was really easy to scare me.
Yeah. No, my mom used to do the same thing to me all the time. She used to come in and try to scare me because I liked getting scared because you get an adrenaline rush or whatever. So when I was like 5 or 6, my mom would walk in and she'd be like, the housing economy is going to collapse when you're an adult. And I'd be like, ah!
You're ruining my life already!
You're ruining my life politically! Yeah. It was frightening. It was funny every time, though.
I can imagine. So the Bloody Mary myth states that on a dark and quiet night, you venture bravely into the bathroom with all the lights off. You stand directly in front of the mirror and utter Bloody Mary 3 times, or Candyman, or whatever the legend says that you need to say. Sometimes it's like a phrase.
Yeah.
Once you've said it 3 times, they'll appear in the mirror and kill you. Ooh. It's August. Are you scared?
I'm getting ready.
It's the spookiest month of the year.
The spookiest month. It's the pre-game month. Halloween's around the corner.
Hockey season starts soon.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Anyway, I will tell you, probably until I was way too old, I wouldn't even think of 3 of the same words in a row because I was afraid of this myth.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That's pretty good.
It's weird. I don't anymore.
And it's probably some grandpa trying to entertain his grandkids.
Yeah.
He just made it up.
Yeah. That's how it starts.
But you told me before we even start doing this whole thing that there's some science behind this.
There is some science behind it. I do want to say, though, that I read an article from the Scientific American that led me to believe that this is just like a common legend in every single culture.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had grown up in Spain and he had his own that was completely different than Candyman or Bloody Mary. So it's just one of those things that permeates through cultures. And there's always stuff that changes the myth. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you have to do it at midnight, or I always heard that you had to turn off all the lights off in the house.
Yeah,
which is just weird.
You know what I think the most terrifying one is? That I heard that in Spain, because it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
They say it, but instead of doing it like we do here, mm-hmm. it's in Spanish.
Yeah, Bloody O Mario. That's Italian. What's your joke?
Oh, was I going to talk? Oh, I'm sorry. Were you saying something? No, go on. Please. No. Gabish, I understand. Go on.
It's your turn.
Go on, tell a joke, funny guy.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who there?
Orange.
Orange is who?
Not Orangelo, because that's not a name.
Yeah, because that's an urban legend.
Yeah.
Back on topic. Let's go back in.
Let's go back in. So I did ask our Facebook group if anyone had done like the Bloody Mary stuff or any of the variants of that kind of stuff and what the results were. And I got a few replies that some people tried it once or a few times in their youth. And not a one person out of all the respondents had any results anytime they did it, which is disappointing.
Yeah.
Because there is a science behind how Bloody Mary works. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating. There is a right way to do it. And there was this wonderful scientist, Giovanni Caputo.
Oh, Giovanni Caputo. He's a bad guy from Pokemon. Go on.
Yeah. Every time I hear the name Giovanni, I think of Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then I hear the name Caputo and I think of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
So just combine those two somehow. Do you think we have enough listeners now to do fan art? Because someone draw that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's how that works.
I think that's how it works. But anyway, Giovanni Caputo, he ran an experiment on 50 participants.
Uh-huh.
And what he did was he set them up in a room with a like a huge mirror, and they had to stand directly in front of the mirror with a dim 25 watt bulb on the floor behind them. And they had to stand in front of the mirror for 10 minutes, which would creep me out a lot. Like I still hate being in a dark room with a mirror.
Yeah.
For a second. I can't imagine 600 seconds.
Wow, that's some good math right there.
Off the top of my head. So after the 10 minutes were up, let me tell you, they saw some messed up crap.
Like their own faces?
They did, because there was a mirror.
That was a diss on 50 strangers, but go on.
50 strangers?
Yeah, there's 50 people in an experiment. I just dissed their faces. They're ugly. They're scary.
Oh.
Go on. It's in my blood, buddy.
That was a really good joke.
Thank you. It's a genetic thing. My dad was funny, too. It's terrible. My kids would probably be funny.
Another solid joke. So a large portion of the participants saw distortions of their own face. So like things would move on their face, or like things would just like bulge out or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some of them saw their parents' faces over their face, and some of those had like distortions on there as well. Some people saw a random face that they didn't recognize over their face, but it was still a face. And then kind of a smaller subset saw what I'll call a generic picture mm-hmm. of a person. So like, I think Caputo's article said it was like a generic child or a generic old woman or something like that over their face. So just be like, just a generic old woman or whatever.
Yeah.
And then some people would see animal faces over their face. They see like pig faces or cat faces over their faces.
Cool. So it sounds like everybody was just full of garbage.
Well, this is all true, which is the creepiest part. But almost half the people saw what Caputo says, quote, fantastical and monstrous beings in the mirror, which I think you'll agree is a large percent of why this Bloody Mary thing would propagate, or especially Candyman, if it's like this monstrous beast in the mirror.
Yeah.
But even more interesting is that all of the 50 participants, 100% of the participants in Giovanni's study felt what he called dissociative identity effect, which mm-hmm. means the person they saw in the mirror, they didn't feel like it was them.
So it's like a schizophrenia type deal.
Yeah, which is actually sort of one of the explanations that he puts out, is that there's this, I forget who did the original study, but there's this thing called multiple faces effect. Where, like, if you see faces in your peripheral, you'll see faces that aren't actually there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like just a weird effect of that.
I could do that, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Want to see?
Yeah.
This is really good audio.
I know.
Ready? Watch.
Yep. Whoa. Whoa. Dude, stop. Stop. You're like a Lon Chaney.
Yeah. What? Jeez. Who?
The Man of 1,000 Faces from silent films. You need to be cultured.
Hmm.
Lon Chaney. Look him up.
Did you see what I did there?
No.
Another face.
Oh, I thought that was just your face.
Yeah, it sounds good, right? Does it sound good?
I think.
Okay, let's keep going.
In post, just add some like stretching on a balloon sound effects.
You
know that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like what Goosebumps would use.
Gross.
So all 50 would feel that dissociative identity effect, which, like I said, they didn't feel like it was them, but they felt something weird was happening. If they didn't see anything, because I think like half the people didn't see anything in the mirror, they would still feel weird, which would also lead to the legend being propagated. Because you're looking at yourself and you feel weird, then you're going to tell your friends about that, right?
So here's the other thing. Okay, what year was this done, this study?
It was late 2000s. I think it was 2011.
Oh, wow. So this is a recent thing.
Yeah.
But at that point, Bloody Mary had already been established.
Yep.
So it was such a popular urban legend at this point that he decided to test it out and see why
it
propagated.
Yeah. Yep.
But what we don't know is how weird was Giovanni. Was he kind of like, hey, I know you're all, like, everybody felt uncomfortable in that room, right? Well, if he was like, okay, I'm going to need you to go in this room. You want $10? Go in this room. You know, we'll make it 50. Stand there for 10 minutes. I bet you can't.
Yeah.
And turn this light on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna close this door. Don't do it. Just look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm going to leave.
But then he has a trick mirror and he puts on a mask and stands behind the mirror.
Well, he could do that, or he could, like, just that situation is terrible.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm a stranger standing in front of this mirror, really dark.
Yeah.
Does that make everybody feel weird?
There's also 30 people hidden around this room that you don't know about. How do you feel?
Yeah, pretty good.
What he attributes it to is a few things. Because with the brain, we never quite know what's going on with our brains.
Mm-hmm.
So he just has a couple theories. I said that there is the multiple faces effect. But what most people, not even just Caputo,
Giovanni.
Giovanni Caputo. Not just him suggests, but other people suggest that it's part of the Troxler effect, which is really hard to explain with words. I'm going to try my best.
The Troxler effect.
The Troxler effect.
Okay.
What do you think that is?
The Troxler effect?
Yeah.
Troxler.
Break it down into its constituents.
Okay. Trox.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably driving my trox down the street. And they go so fast that when the siren go by, wee-woo, 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 the Troxler effect.
That is more science, but not the right science. That's the Doppler effect.
Troxler Doppler.
Same thing in Russia.
I need you to tell me what the Troxler Doppler effect is next.
The Troxler effect?
The Troxler Doppler.
Okay, I'll make something up. But the Troxler effect is where, for me, it's like when I put my sunglasses on my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a faint sensation on my nerves that my brain just kind of fades it away. So I forget that they're there and I can't feel them anymore until, like, I move them or I touch them or something like that. Then the sensation immediately comes back, snaps out of what it faded out of. So it's like that, but with your eyes. So try to translate that.
So it's like when you're in a pool so long that you feel like you're just floating, and then you kick your leg and you're like, oh yeah, I'm slow because I'm underwater.
Yeah. Something like that. But with your eyes, like, I don't know how to explain how it happens with your eyes. So if you actually go and look up Troxler optical illusion on your favorite search engine, which I assume is Bing, there's like a GIF that you'll get the idea. It's got like these little dots and this dot's going around a circle and one of them is out at a time. But if you stare at the middle, all of them disappear.
Or how about when you're a little kid and you just stare at the grass?
Mm-hmm.
And as you stare at it, it starts to get all like spotted and like,
yeah. You know what's weird is that happens when I look at you while we're recording. If I look at you too long, it like starts to like,
when your eyes rest.
Yeah, it's weird.
We should go in a dark room together later and test that out.
So kind of how that works though is, what else do we know about the brain? What do you know about the brain besides that it's like gray?
It's wrinkly like an old man.
It is. No, the brain loves to fill in gaps. That's what I was going for. Sorry, you don't win the grand prize.
Hey.
You don't go home with your Casio keyboard.
Can we keep this
PG-13,
please?
What'd I say?
Go on.
The idea is that as you're staring at your face, the light is like dim enough that your eyes start to fade out the image of your face.
Mm-hmm.
But then your brain loves to fill in gaps.
No. What's there? It's a monkey face.
Pretty much.
It's a
mom. Yeah, this is exactly it. But like, have you ever done that thing where you look away from an analog clock and then you really quickly look back and it looks like the second hand is stuck for like 2 extra seconds.
Yeah. Or you stare at like a bunch of weird blocks and then you look at a white wall and you find Jesus.
Yes. Like that. It's because your brain is specifically with like the second hand one. You're moving so fast that your brain can't see the second hand moving. So it just grabs the first image that it sees and then fills that in because it loves filling in gaps.
Pretty good.
Yeah. That's how our brain works. So as it's fading out, it fills it in with a monkey face. And that's kind of the leading theory on why this happens.
So it's your brain panicking that it doesn't have enough info.
And then just lays something on top of it.
Pretty good.
Yeah. There's also a really good episode of Good Mythical Morning where they do this with each other, but instead of a mirror, they use each other's face.
I've done that with my cousin Phil.
Yeah, it's like that. Mm-hmm. And like the first one he sees is like the guy's face turns into Howdy Doody. Like the puppet thing.
Good.
Yeah.
My dad also had a doll of that. Which yeah. Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I know, he had Charlie Chaplin, actually.
Oh, that would give me nightmares.
Yeah, pretty good.
The Hitler stash.
I think Charlie Chaplin is what they based the Goosebumps dummy on.
Was it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He loved that thing. A little.
God, dummies freak me out.
A little monocle.
That's another thing that freaked me out as a kid. So yeah, that's basically, hopefully, how Bloody Mary works. And hopefully it's not real. Do you want to recap?
Yeah. So basically, there was a large explosion, and then the Earth exists, and then we were fish people.
Mm-hmm.
The fish people grew legs, and the
I meant specifically what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I'm getting there. So then the fish people with the legs killed the fish people without the legs, and then they had a monarchy, and then grew into humans, and then humans.
Hang on, what if we came from fish? Why are there still fish?
Oh my god. I've never questioned this.
Anyway.
Okay, so.
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Uh-huh.
Is an urban legend.
Uh-huh.
That became so popular.
Uh-huh.
That a scientist, Giovanni Caputo.
Giovanni. You gotta do like, the hand.
Okay, Giovanni Caputo. Thank yeah, you. Sorry, I wasn't pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, they could hear that. They could hear that.
Okay. So then. He's like, hey, you 50 people, get in this room. Bada bing, bada boom. I'll put this light on behind you. Switch it on. What do you see? Monsters? Yeah, that's right. Because your brain fills in gaps.
Yep.
And then that's how it propagated. That's how it planted seeds in our little baby brains so that we could tell our friends to look in the mirror and say Bloody Mary over and over. And then the rich, rich, rich capitalist of the American country said, let's turn it into a drink and make money.
I think that's exactly what happened.
And he's like, and we'll give an homage to Giovanni. We'll put tomato juice in it. Whatever. Bada bing, bada boom. Tomato juice.
I think it started with pizza sauce first.
Yeah, you put some pizza sauce in a drink.
And then that was too expensive, so they just started doing tomatoes.
Well, they used to have to water it down, but water was too expensive, so they used vodka.
Yeah.
Is that how you make a Bloody Mary?
I have no idea.
Is it vodka and tomato juice? Tell me.
Sure.
Give me a recipe.
If you know how to make a Bloody Mary, write in to us at podcast@strangerstillshow.com. We'll appreciate your recipes for Bloody Marys. So that's Bloody Mary, isn't it? Did you learn something?
You're bloody well right, I did.
That was a solid one.
Thank you. I've been thinking about that for the past hour. Go on.
So first of all, thanks for listening. I want to take a moment to thank everyone that has reviewed our podcast. Christy788. We've got Nick Smanders. We've got Jerish Straight Bill, Miss Court Jam, Andrew Seffel J.
What are some of the things these guys are saying?
They said that they like it. Straight Bill said that he's officially hooked. Miss Court Jam asked, what are your favorite memes? Your memes and your peeps?
Yeah, my meme and my papa.
Yep. Stuff like that. So thank you. A special thank you to those people, because if you like this podcast, make sure you're leaving reviews, because that's the best way to help us out.
That's the absolute most important thing besides telling a friend.
Yep.
Tell a friend, leave a review.
Yep. For a new podcast, that's like the number one way that we can even start getting people to listen. So thanks for that. Another thing that I want to say is on our Facebook group, we asked people for questions. And one that really stood out to me was from Paulo M. I'm not going to say last names. He asked how they get the filling in Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
So John, how do you think we get filling inside of Pop-Tarts?
I've seen enough Pop-Tart commercials to know the deal.
Yep.
So, have you ever seen a tree?
Yes.
Okay. That was a trick question. I've seen you around trees.
Doesn't mean I was looking at them.
So, well.
You don't know me.
So then there's these, what they do is they take like the Pop-Tart trees.
Yep.
They're from California.
Uh-huh.
And they grow them. See, most trees grow up and down, mm-hmm. but if you grow them horizontally, the fruit grow horizontally.
Okay.
And everybody knows it's science that popcorns are a horizontal treat.
Yep.
Like, yeah, they're vertical just for packaging, but usually they turn them on their side. And what they do is they take it, it's like a slot.
You know what's actually really interesting about that? Pop-Tarts used to be eaten sideways.
Yeah. Duh. I'm telling you the history right now. You're acting like I'm making stuff up. Anyway, like a floppy disk.
Oh, okay. I shouldn't have interrupted you because you were right there at the end.
Yeah.
And you're also wrong. The explanation is actually a lot simpler. What they do is they take like a really thin piece of dough, like a ginormous piece, uh-huh. they put it on a roller, and then they have this thing that squirts out jam. Every filling of a Pop-Tart is jam.
Mm-hmm.
So they squirt it into the rough shape of a Pop-Tart, and then they lay dough on top of it.
Yeah, but I got a question for you, though.
Yeah.
So the first thing is, okay, so I'm having a slice of Pop-Tart. Blew my mind. Second of all, what do you call that machine when it jams up?
What?
Jammed? I don't know.
You missed the joke. You're supposed to say, what do you call that machine when it breaks down? Jammed.
Okay, go on. You forgot the most important part, though. So, okay, we got one layer of dough.
Uh-huh. You got jam on top of that.
Jammed on top.
And then another layer of dough on top of that.
Okay.
And then there's this machine that rolls into the shape of Pop-Tarts, like in these giant rows.
Yeah, like a big cookie cutter.
Yep, and it presses them down together into the shape of a Pop-Tart.
Okay.
And then bakes them a little bit and cuts them apart.
Cool.
And then that's how you get the filling inside.
Yeah, and that's it?
Pretty much.
Wrong.
What I missed?
What's on the back of a Pop-Tart? Tiny tire treads. They take little matchbox cars, and there's a little. They hire extra people, and they go. Sometimes it's with children, so yeah. It's a little like immoral.
Yeah, child labor,
but it's kind of cute because they got right. little Tonka trucks.
So who's gonna sue them?
Yeah, and that's how they make the little tire treads on the back of Pop Tarts too.
So thanks, Paulo, for asking that question. If anyone else has a question, like I said earlier, you can send it to us at podcast@strangerstillshow.com.
You can tweet at us @strangerstill.
And we have other things that I forgot about.
Yeah, like Facebook.
I already said Facebook.
And like Twitter.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Good, great job.
Good, great job.
Okay, bye.